Welcome to Small Business Insights, where back office conversations give us insight to what's really going on. Is it grit or luck that gives a small business owner an advantage? Let's find out. I'm your host, Laura Fisher. Well, welcome today. I've got a special guest. He was also my Lunch and Learn speaker recently at the Business E-Suites here in Sugar Land. It is Mazhar Chaudhary. I always mess up the names. That's my charm, I hope. So say hello.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Laura. Thank you very much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
You did a great job with our Lunch and Learn. We had two sessions and both of them were filled up. You did it on e-commerce and how to sell more with e-commerce. And I asked you to talk about Shopify and the things, because we have a lot of people in the building that do e-commerce, or they're doing it in a small way, and you have a way of making e-commerce bigger.
I hope people found it helpful. Thank you. I really appreciate it for the opportunity. Thank you.
Well, you helped us out. You helped us learn more. I want to know a little bit about yourself. Did you grow up here in Sugar Land? Where are you from? What kind of education do you have? Are you married? Tell us a little
bit. Yes, certainly. I've lived here in Sugar Land and in Texas, of course, for nearly 20 years.
Oh, wow.
I am originally an immigrant. I was born in Pakistan. Grew up in Pakistan. I came here, as I said, about 20 years ago. I am married. My beautiful wife's name is Sabahat. We have four children.
Is that a common name?
Somewhat.
I feel like I've heard that name before.
Yeah. Maybe not. It's a special, very special name for me, but okay. Yeah, it could be common for other people.
Yeah. And you have children?
We have four children, three daughters and one son. Oldest daughter is a second year college student.
Oh, excellent.
And the youngest one just finished elementary school.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
That's quite a span.
Yes, it sure is.
That's why you have to work hard.
That's right.
Did you come here with your parents 20 years ago?
No, I came here alone. My parents, by the way, have now immigrated here for about 8 years.
Did you come here for college?
I went to school here. A little bit about my education. My post-graduation is in administration and management. My master's is in business development. And I am also a certified project manager, PMP.
I like projects because there's an ending to it.
Correct.
And a measurable and a deliverable and a deadline. And deadlines always motivate me, even if it's something mundane. Deadlines. I like deadlines. Uh-huh. But that's not why you're here. So you are the CEO and owner of Digital Rhodium.
That's right.
You offer all kinds of projects and services for them, digital marketing, brand services, web app development, social media, SEO, e-commerce stores. And that's what I keyed on was your e-commerce and medical billing. So all of it is digital.
Right. Digital business solutions company. These are some of the services we offer, but it's basically a business solutions company. For instance, earlier before we actually went live, you asked me my experience with organizing my team. We go in, identify problems for companies from medium to large size companies.
Now, I even see you talking to really small companies too.
Yes.
The one or two person where they're trying to grow. I've seen you talk to them because we work in the same building.
My personal time, you're right. I have a sales team here in Houston and some remote contract people in other states as well, outside Texas. But my personally, as you said, rightfully said, I enjoy, honestly, really, I enjoy talking to people one-to-one, especially the ones who are thinking of getting into e-commerce or starting a new business or startup business. That is I like doing it. I honestly enjoy doing it.
Well, and you're easy to talk to. So let's dive in. I asked you to come in on your Lunch and Learn, and we talked about e-commerce, and you gave us 10 tips on how to sell more e-commerce. So I thought that would be great for our show today. So let's start with tip number one.
These 10 tips are good for anybody at any level, be that somebody who is working off or out of their garage, or somebody who is doing hundreds of millions of dollars. Literally, these are essential.
It's just your standard.
Tips that, yes.
All right. Tip number one.
Tip number one is build trust of your brand. What it means is typically people, if you ask them what a brand is, or what I've heard from thousands of people, when you ask them, what is your understanding of brand? Even people who've been in business, not necessarily e-commerce, even before e-commerce, the physical stores, brick mortar stores, or conventional retail stores, their understanding of the logo is most of the times is that a brand is that it's a logo.
Your logo, your colors, your displays, things like that.
But brand really is actually your representative, something that's there when you're not there.
Your reputation.
Your reputation. Okay. Your how people see you, how they trust you, how much they are going to prefer you over others.
Right. You know, I think that's really come more probably in the last 10 years with these influencers, you know.
Correct.
That, because I never thought of that. Because like you mentioned in the meeting that I'm a brand, you know, Laura Fisher is a brand.
That is correct.
And I know I'm doing a podcast, but even when I'm in the hallway and meeting with a customer, I'm a part of my brand.
That is exactly right.
So that's what you're talking about.
I'm glad you said that, Laura. What Laura Fisher is to people, to listeners, I don't know, but I am going to make an assumption. Correct me if I'm wrong. That majority of these thousands, hundreds of thousands of people out there who listen to your podcast, I am assuming that many of them, or big majority of them, have never seen you in person. But when they hear the name Laura Fisher, they cannot picture anything because they have never seen you.
Right.
So they cannot picture who Laura is. But what comes to mind is the value these podcasts bring to them. And you've, as in your intro, you stated that this is something that you're not doing for fun. You're doing it as a mission. You want people to benefit from this. So this is your brand persona. This is how people conceive you, or the image that comes to mind when somebody hears Laura Fisher. That's what branding is.
Okay.
And we discuss in detail. I know the time doesn't permit to go in a lot of detail, but branding, I do want to say one thing, that whoever is listening to our podcast, please make sure you look into it in more detail, understand the value of branding.
Well, one thing you mentioned, Mazar, I thought was very important. When I purchase something from Amazon, that retailer who provided that product to Amazon has lost their branding.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so if you are using Amazon to distribute your products, you said make sure you put something inside the packaging so they know that Amazon's not the one who provided it. It was, you know, Digital Rhodium, you know, whoever, or the Honeybee place. Yes. Put that logo on there, because otherwise all your brand is lost.
That's exactly how it goes. People who are listening to this wonderful podcast, we are, when it comes to being people, we are all the same. Anybody who buys anything, a service or a product at Amazon, and I'm not here to beat Amazon, but I'm just stating
the facts. Well, we're all consumers of Amazon.
Exactly. From this perspective, as people, as consumers, when we buy something at Amazon, all I want to know is that I bought it at Amazon. If I have to go buy it again, I will still go back to Amazon and buy it. The issue, the problem here is that for whatever reason, if next time around, if I don't see you on the top of the list, that list which Amazon or my online web's on.
Well, if I go to look for that black dress or that particular electronic.
Right. And so if there are other people selling it, I'm going to end up buying it.
Right.
So you just lost your sale because you didn't really understand the value or the power of branding.
Right.
That's one thing. Another issue is that when you go again, speaking of Amazon or any, for that matter, any online e-commerce platform, when you go put anything, black dress, for instance, on the search bar, it's going to bring all the merchants.
At least 30,000.
$30,000, exactly. So how are people going to know that it is Laura Fisher's store where I'm buying it at?
Right.
And if for any reason tomorrow, and it's happening every day, and recently Amazon has almost banned, completely stopped drop shipping. No more drop shipping via Amazon. So tomorrow, if any other change is made with regards to their selling policy or merchant policies, for some reason, one or another, if you can't sell on Amazon anymore, that means all that hard work, as you were saying,
right,
all that hard work that you've put in and the money you've spent, the resources, that just went down the drain. You're going to have to start fresh.
Well, everybody, any business wants repeat business. If you're not branding and you're delivering it through some other service, you've got to find a clever way.
Correct.
To do that.
The two things that we concluded during those two sessions of our seminar recently, everybody is going to have to need in coming days if you want to survive in retail. And by the way, retail is not going to be conventional retail for long. It is going to 100%. I know it may sound absurd, it may sound overwhelming, but it is what it is. This is the reality, and the numbers speak for itself. The time is here. It's not coming. It's here when all the purchases are going to be done, made online. Branding also gives you the other ingredient, the other element for survival, and that is customer retention, as you said, repeat right. customer. So these are the two things, as I was saying, what we concluded during those two sessions in our seminar, two things that are going to help you survive or be able to stay around on e-commerce are your brand recognition and customer retention. Customer retention cannot be done without brand recognition and for all the reasons we just discussed and more.
All right, tip number two. Pricing.
Okay, set your prices right. Now, pricing, this is, allow me, bear with me, please, Laura, and the listeners out there. This is something I'm going to spend more time on because it's very critical to understand.
Well, when you're shopping on the internet, most of us start with the price.
Correct. Now, set your prices right. It could mean anything to anybody, the way you perceive it or the way you understand it. So that's why I think it would be more beneficial for all of us, all the listeners out there, what exactly it means, price, set your prices right. So setting your prices right, there are several ways of doing it. There are a lot of things, a lot of lingo. For instance, cost plus pricing. Cost plus pricing simply means that you don't worry about what your overheads are, what the cost of a good sold is. You don't have to break everything down, especially for people who are beginners or who don't have really a large operation. You can just simply put a number, $5 on top of whatever your cost price is.
Okay.
And that goes across the board. You can put that on all your products. You don't have to worry about
it. So that's one way of doing pricing.
That's one way of doing it. But the benefit of doing that is that you don't really have to worry about costing every single item that you have there.
Because you can really get in the weeds.
Exactly.
Especially if you've got a lot of little bitty inventory or something.
Correct. Then the next comes, under the same pricing strategy, comes the competition-based pricing. That's where you have to figure out what is the maximum that you can charge. Again, as we're discussing, e-commerce has provided you, the consumer, the opportunity, the ability to see everybody.
Right. You can do all that comparing shopping.
Right,
even
right.
on Google, you can, it is ruthless.
Right. So you have to, so you have to know what is the maximum a customer is going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to this, it doesn't matter to the customer, to the consumer, that if it costs you more to acquire it,
Or to deliver it.
This means everything the customer is going to pay out of pocket.
Right.
Be that the price that's the cost that they're going to pay at your store or
so it's
the
not
shipping
just,
and so on.
It's the whole from the packaging.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Storing it, having employees touching it,
everything,
repackaging, postage.
Correct.
Everything.
Correct.
Okay.
Next comes the price skimming. This is interesting. Price skimming, what comes to mind when I say price skimming?
I don't know. What is
exactly.
price skimming?
So price skimming basically
doesn't
means.
Doesn't sound good.
Price skimming means that there are products that are becoming obsolete every day.
Okay.
Thanks to technological advancement, there are still gadgets around that are not very much in use now, but they were prevalent. They were very much in use previously.
Right.
For instance, VCRs.
And all the PlayStations, they have all different.
Exactly.
Right.
The video cams. I don't know how many people are going to even be able to relate to VCR.
I've got a few I need to get converted, but yeah.
It was a device, guys, something to look up if you don't, if VCR, these three letters, doesn't make sense to look it up what it was. So all those things are now practically obsolete. People don't use them.
But what's price skimming?
Price skimming is that normally what people think is that, okay, it's obsolete. Okay, it's just going to sit on my shelf because I'm never going to be able to sell it. But you paid for it.
Right.
It's a loss that you're going to, in your mind, you're thinking, okay, it's lost, money lost. I'm never going to be able to sell it. But the truth is that you can still sell them as long as you lower the prices.
I usually find stuff like that on eBay.
Correct.
Right. So that's direct from a consumer to consumer.
Uh-huh.
Right. Is that Is that where you would do those type of things?
Consumer to consumer, or, you know, even if you are a store, if you had inventory, you bought inventory that right at a time where the...
There's going to be somebody, but you got to be willing to let it sit on your shelf for a little bit.
You have to understand that, what do you really want to do? Ask yourself a question, a simple question. Do you want to lose all of it, or you still want to salvage some of it? That's the key to it.
Right.
You can lower the prices and you'll still sell it. Plus, you'll earn... A unique, we're going to talk about something later on, unique selling proposition, which is that you become known for something very special.
Okay.
It could be that. And then that helps you not only recoup some of your losses, but also earn you a name.
And customer retention.
Exactly.
People
exactly.
and referrals. Well, you got so much to tell us. Okay. So we've covered branding. We've covered pricing. We've got lots more to cover, so we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to discuss things like how to take good pictures, your images, customer service, testimonials, how to make the most of those, copy. And most of all, the last thing we're going to talk about is how long you have to retain a customer.
Correct.
When they're buying with e-commerce. So
very important, yes.
We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Thank you for listening to Small Business Insights. Today's show is sponsored by Business eSuites. The E is for entrepreneurs. They help small business grow with their unique office solutions, affordable and flexible terms. It's time to let your business take off.
All right, we are back with Mazar from Digital Rhodium here in Sugarland, Texas, talking about e-commerce and how to sell more with e-commerce. So we've gone through tip number one, which is branding, which is more than just logos. It's everything. And then pricing, how important it is. And so now, Mazar, we're on tip number three. What is that?
So tip number three is decrease shipping times. If you look at what Amazon is doing these days, most of the times, they're able to deliver you, if you place your order until a certain cutoff time, they deliver it the same day.
You know, you're right. I think I'm buying because of shipping times.
Exactly.
You're right. Exactly.
So that's how critical it is. So right. Guys, be careful with shipping time. People are not interested
no
in
no longer
waiting for,
4 to 6 weeks
correct,
is available.
Correct.
All right. Number four,
create a unique selling proposition. We just talked about it.
Yes.
And it's the same thing, that you want to be known to your customer for something that only you do.
Okay.
Or a product that only you have. And there are lots of ways of doing that, guys. Look into that. But it is very, very important.
And it could be an actual product, or it could be a service that you provide with the product. It could be anything.
It is something like, there was a restaurant out there. We worked with them. Their menu said that 3 pieces fried fish for $4.99.
Okay.
They always gave 4 pieces.
Ah.
They advertised 3 pieces. They charge you for 3 pieces, but they gave you a 4th piece for free.
Well, that's nice. Yeah. Where's that place?
That restaurant actually sold more just because that's something only they did. Use that example. If add a little something, a little gift sort of thing, a card, a note.
Well, some people offer ice cream at the end of
anything.
A meal. That's free.
Anything.
So something like that.
Exactly.
And that does appeal.
Just be unique. Be unique.
Yeah. Okay. Number five.
Provide multiple payment options. This is something we sometimes underestimate.
You're talking more than just different credit cards, different ways to pay.
Well, yes. What happens, Laura, most of these people who are, there's a lot of advertising going around, companies who are offering, we build your stores and we do this for you and we do build your e-commerce platforms. And I'm glad you asked me, and with your help, we talked about Shopify in a lot more detail. These companies, whoever you go out to, or people, individuals who you go out to and ask them to set up your store, they're going to set it up with whatever tools they have available. And they may end up setting up the payment options, one or two, which is just credit cards. And even credit cards, they may say that, okay, Visa and MasterCard. A lot of companies shy away from using American Express because they charge extra fees. But what if your customer only wants to pay with American Express for one or another reason? So that's PayPal, checks, now Apple Pay, lots of ways.
We use Stripe here, and I've seen Plaid. And that's a really nice interface, because it also allows me to use a bank transfer.
Correct.
And so I can avoid fees.
There you go.
And I like to avoid fees.
You just said it. You just said it. It's all about customer convenience, because remember, what you're selling, most likely you're not the only one selling this. There are people out there who are selling exact same thing.
Right.
Somebody would be willing to pay maybe 50 cent or a dollar higher to your competitor just because they offered a payment option that the customer was looking for.
Next tip, number 6.
Take top-notch product images. Images are so critical. These days, we rely on two things before buying anything: description and images. Descriptions, nobody wants to spend a lot of time reading about description. Just like we have time constraint here, we are having to go very fast. So people don't want to spend a lot of time on reading about your product. They want to see it as good as if they are feeling it.
You know, have you been on Zappos before?
Uh-huh.
I love that because they'll give you a shoe and they'll give you 7 different angles of it, the top, the front, the side, and then at the very end, they'll give you a little video. So I can see how the shoe bends, you know, because sometimes that matters.
Yes.
You know, and so that's the kind of stuff you're talking about.
It's not the time now. Maybe we'll do another podcast on that. But you prompted me to something very, very important, the changing trend we've been seeing in the future. In coming days, as a matter of fact, right now and very soon, the images and all that is going to be all AI, artificial intelligence, and augmented reality based.
I have no knowledge of that. So that means I wouldn't know how to do it.
Exactly. So that's something you just mentioned, the 3D images and
right.
the tour of the product. It's a shoe.
Right.
Think about it. If it was not important, why would
And they have a lot of shoes. That's a lot of work in the background.
Exactly.
That's a lot of back office work.
So think about it. Look at the flip side. If it was not needed, if it was not important, if it was not benefiting the company, why
right.
would they go through? It's a
Well, I'm sure it keeps them from having customer returns.
Exactly. Very good. Not only that, if the same product, if I have multiple images, if I have a 3D view of that, let me ask you this question. What is the likelihood that you're going to buy the same product at a store, at a place where you have all this detail provided to you versus somebody who's just showing you a picture? What are the likelihood that you're going to? Obviously, you'll go with somebody with more detail. So this
Absolutely.
This is the importance of taking good images and providing all the information.
All right. So tip number 7.
Offer exceptional customer service. Customer service is actually your way of building trust. We talked about branding and we talked about customer retention.
So we're talking about the digital world. Customer service in the past has been the human interaction.
Correct.
But that's not what you're talking about, much larger scope, right?
Correct.
So customer service can be how you navigate on a website, right? And how easy it is to purchase something. Is that part of customer service as well?
So exceptional customer service, everything, as Laura said, that we are accustomed to previously, the conventional, the traditional ways of providing customer service. But in the digital world, what customer services mean that you have to think ahead of your customer. You have to know now what are those things that once the product is delivered, what are the possible reasons the customer would actually want to return the product? And the flip side again, what are the possible reasons the customer is going to love it and want to keep it? All of that is done now at the time of sale and also after sale service. This is how you're going to be able, because there, at the seminar, there was a gentleman who was worried about 40% returns.
Right. And I would be too.
Exactly. And communication is the key. You have to have the best communication, provide all the tools, all the different ways customers are looking forward to communicate with me. If they send in a question, you should have the ability to get that question while you're driving on your phone. Of course, I'm not saying that.
Responsive chats or
exactly,
something like that.
Nobody wants to. If you have on your store, you say live chat and I click on live chat and I have to wait 3 hours. That's not live chat. So things
or
like that.
I've had an experience. I'm a little old school because I'm in my 50s.
I don't know why are you old school. You're not that old, but you're still old school. I don't know how, but that's fine.
But if I'm having trouble mm-hmm. and they have a phone number, I'll call and say, hey, I'm trying to buy something from you, but your website won't let me.
Exactly.
And so that's nice that those companies that have a phone number, it does matter.
The key to that is what you said is that think of all of this in the digital world. That is, I think, if we understand this concept of digital world, the virtual reality, the augmented reality, no human interaction anymore, or least human interaction these days, I think a lot of it will make sense and will start falling in place.
Yeah. All right. So testimonials is number 8.
Testimonials. Laura, I don't know if you guys know this or not. Laura has been in sales for a very, very long time successfully, and she can vouch for this. Testimonials is actually, go back to the power of referrals. If your salon professional expert service provider moved out of town, what is the next thing that you're going to do? Of course, after, you know, you're done freaking out, the first next thing that you're going to do is call somebody, ask somebody who you trust.
Or I'll say, hey, you got a nice haircut. You cut your hair.
There you go. So that's how referral works.
Okay.
Now, the referral, actually what it does is it actually helps us take our guards down. It encourages us, it compels us that, okay, because somebody else can trust this or that person or that company or store, I should be able to trust that company or that store as well.
I also see that as a part of customer service.
It is.
Sometimes those testimonials or those ratings, they allow me to see, hey, that really worked for that person. But if it's negative, I can still read it and go, well, they're just being negative, or obviously they just purchased the wrong thing. But you got to have some reason.
Testimonial is actually, these days we don't really call people. And while you're in digital world, you're online, Amazon or any other place, e-commerce platform, you're buying something, you're not going to look at the website and it's coming up, what I mean, that you're not going to continue looking at it or hold your thought there and call somebody and get their input. No, you want to see that input there, a referral there. And that comes in the form of those testimonials, people
right.
who tell you. And speaking of which, please, 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 this is also going to help you with your branding and customer retention. Be courageous, work very hard. Do not try to dodge this. Be very open and be very honest about the reviews. You're going to have to work extra hard to get good reviews, but that's the key to success.
All right, number 9.
Create a unique copy. I think it's everything that we just discussed. Create a unique copy simply means that you have something that identifies you as a brand. And that is a picture of you or image of you that goes to people while they're shopping and even afterwards.
Right. You cannot underestimate the power of copy.
Correct.
The power of words, because those descriptions, they're everything. And don't skimp on it. Take time, massage it, make sure it's right.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you.
Drum roll, please. What is number 10?
Last but not least, the most important, there is something called a 15-second rule and a 3-click rule. 15-second rule simply means that people are not going to stay at your website, at your store for more than 15 seconds if they don't find what they're looking for.
For searching?
Right.
Okay.
No, once they're there, both actually, more so once they're there at your store. I think you were referring to maybe if you Google something and your name is or not seen in the top 10, 20, 50 list. Yes, that too. And more so what I'm referring to is that when people actually go to your store, make sure something called optimization. We talked about it in the seminar. You optimize your store with regards to what is the best way to display your products.
Okay.
The information that people are actually looking for. It's again going to take a long time to
explain. And it takes
this,
all those things, the unique selling, the images.
Correct.
The copy, all that stuff.
The format of all of it. And then.
So you have 15 seconds to engage somebody to see if they're going to. You'll lose them in 50 seconds
you
if you have an engagement.
Literally lose them. They'll just move on. They'll go
and
to
somebody
else. And
that's probably an average, because I bet some people are like,
yeah. Yeah.
Next
yeah,
site.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm saying 15 seconds because, you know, if this stay longer, that's great. If your store is so, attractive or, whatever.
Well, let's just talk about Zappos. I mentioned that earlier.
You did.
I'm looking for shoes and I could spend a long time on there because I'm engaged. I want to find the right shoe. And I have a lot to show me. But if I go to a store that obviously...
Let me rephrase what I said because you said something very important that I think that sums it up. 15 seconds to engage your customer. Of course, they'll spend more time there if they are going to want to browse around or end up buying something, but you have 15 seconds to engage them or keep them going and stay there longer.
And that just means you have to make sure it's easy for someone to find what
Correct.
They're looking for.
Correct.
Okay.
And the 3-click rule is that once they put the products in the cart,
okay,
from that point on, if they're done, they want to check out. Your checkout process cannot be longer than 3 clicks. Do not ask for a lot of information. There are ways of asking a lot of information, but you have to know again.
I think you mentioned before in the class, don't make them hit next.
Correct.
So just either make a longer form. So
break it down, lesser fields. If you want them to give you 20 field long information. Don't put those 20 fields.
Don't
on
do
one
the
page.
Marketing Correct. Questions on there.
No. They will not like it. Never. Yeah. They never like it. And they should be able to check out with three clicks. They've already given you all the information. So
yeah,
that's pretty much it.
You've got a lot of information and I rushed you on most of this. So I'm sorry about that.
Not at all.
So I'll put in the show notes, your contact information. You have all kinds of projects. You find customers, you're in sales, you're working with clients to help them with their digital marketing. And that's such a broad spectrum.
Correct.
It can even be the back office stuff. It's not always the front office. I can see that you do medical billing. That Correct. Doesn't sound very sexy, but that means you know how to handle all the back office stuff.
Yes, you're right. Thank you, Laura. It doesn't sound very sexy, but it is kind of juicy.
Yeah.
So it is, my company's name is Digital Rhodium. We are a digital business solutions company, and we provide all kinds of services. There is about 50 plus staff who is doing all the work and providing all the services, starting from digital marketing to website and app development, e-commerce store building, medical billing, social media management, reputation management, and the list goes on.
So tell us your website, and does it have examples of your work on there?
It's a beautiful website. Please visit our website. You will find all the details there. It's very well organized. As a matter of fact, all the claims I've made here, I think that's now your chance to actually go and check out if
and you can check out a picture of him too. So tell us your
So it's www.digitalrhodium.com.
Can they call you?
Yeah, they can call me. Anybody can reach me at 832-955-3500. Please feel free to call. If I don't answer, please do leave me a message. I promise you, I will call you back immediately.
Awesome. Mazar, I think you've added a lot to the podcast. Thank you very much for coming. I really appreciate your time.
It is nothing but pleasure. Thank you, Laura. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And please leave us a review. Let us know what you think of the show today. And until next time, you better be up to something.
Thanks for joining us this week on Small Business Insights. Make sure you visit our website at fisherpodcast.com, where you can follow the podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform, so you'll never miss a show. If you enjoyed and found value in today's episode, we'd appreciate a rating and review on iTunes, or simply share it with a friend. That would help us out too. Make sure you tune in next week for our next episode. Until then, you better be up to something.